Get the headbanging going. Raise the arms.
I would do some headbanging, but I hurt my neck sleeping. You know, like when you have the kink in
the neck and you can't
really move? Yeah, always. It's like three times a year. But any other time, I'd be headbanging for our next guest. This is Cam Jansen from the Cam and Strick podcast. How are you, my man? I know last time we spoke last week, you were dealing with some COVID symptoms. How's the recovery going?
Oh, I'm fine, man. Dude, I've been through so much with, getting sick over the years, you know, with the painkillers and stuff like that. It doesn't bother me that bad. But my wife, on the other hand, you know, she's a little bit, I get worried about her. But we chilled all weekend. We put up Christmas decorations all weekend.
Nice.
We didn't get to see our family. Yeah, we didn't get to see our family for Thanksgiving, but it's like, whatever. My parents live down the road. I can go stop by their house anytime. So we just enjoyed ourselves. I had symptoms for a day, and then I was completely fine. My wife's still kind of lethargic. But other than that, man, we're good to go.
Good to hear, buddy. Good to hear. Well, gents, a lot going on in the world of hockey. You know, we see some suspensions. We see the Maple Leafs taking over the conversation about being best team in the league. Before we move on to the fun stuff, just quick thoughts. What's your impressions from afar about what you're seeing with this Maple Leafs team?
Oh, well, they're fun to watch. I'll tell you that right now. I mean, you know, haven't we seen this for the past, you know, 5 years or so? Like, they're good. We talked about this. They're gonna win a lot of games. Yeah. They're going to beat teams 8-0. You know, Austin Matthews and Mitch, they're going to put on complete shows, and everybody's going to go crazy. And we know it's going to. Look at their lineup. They're deep. Yeah. They're loaded. They have so much skill. So it's like, as a Toronto fan, just appreciate that. Like, you got to still, whether you want to look to the playoffs now or not, like, we're not there yet. But as of right now, as a Toronto Maple Leafs fan, and you go to the game and you spend money, you're seeing an unbelievable product. So enjoy it. And then once the playoffs come, we'll deal with it when we need to deal with it. But as of right now, good for you, good for the fan base. And again, that team is fun to watch.
Enjoy it. At least fans can enjoy anything. I mean, it's
I know.
It's constant pain. It's constant doubt. There is no fan base in professional sports with less confidence in their team than the Toronto Maple Leafs. And perhaps that's deserving. I mean, you consider everything that's happened over the past 17 years since they last won a playoff series, the longest drought, Stanley Cup drought in a long time. I mean, there's so many fans out there, Cam, who look at this team and just say, I don't care. Talk to me in April. And is that fair to this? Is that fair to this Maple Leafs team? It's probably not. I mean, they've won 14 of 16, but I think it's also just a reality of the situation with 5 straight years of Matthews and Marner, no playoff series wins. So, but you, on one hand, you have to enjoy how great this team has become.
Of course,
but on the other hand,
man.
You have to be skeptical about what this really means when it's all said and done.
Worry about it when the time comes.
Yeah. You could do both. You could enjoy it and still have concern. Why wouldn't you? Hey, look, I'm around Blues fans all day, every day, everywhere I go. Just remember what they went through, too. You know, like the Blues went to the playoffs 25 years in a row and didn't make it. Now, they got kind of far. They went to the second round. They won the President's Trophy in 99 with Pronger and McInnes. And I remember this. They won President's Trophy, and they had the eighth seed going against the San Jose Sharks, I believe it was. And I remember the next day, once when they won the President's Trophy, they went on St. Louis Post-Dispatch and had all the players around, and they put a little symbol where the Stanley Cup should be and said, place cup here. And I remember looking at my dad, and my dad goes, yeah, they just jinxed themselves. And, of course, they lose in the first round. And they'll say, so here's my point. My point is the Blues fans have been through hell and back about not winning the Stanley Cup and things like that. So there's still a comparison there. I understand it. You could do both. You can enjoy watching Brett Hall with a mullet cruising around in the 90s scoring 86 goals. You can enjoy watching superstars and winning games and stuff like that. But also realize and be realistic that, hey, this doesn't mean a damn thing until we get to the big dance and you actually make some moves there. And so it's a hard balance, and I don't blame the Leafs fans for being cranky here and there. But right as of right now, just enjoy watching Austin Matthews do his thing.
don't need the ghosts of Roman Turek resurfacing in with Blues fans that playoff series. That goal from Owen Nolan from center ice, just haunting memory.
Hey, didn't Mark Bergevin
score in his own net?
Oh.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Mark Bergevin, not employed anymore, getting axed from the Montreal Canadiens. What are your thoughts on all the surprising moves you saw in Montreal over the weekend?
I mean, man, Montreal's so hard to deal with. Like, that whole, just the whole way of, if you're a GM, and you're in a hierarchy position with the Montreal organization, that's got to be one of the most stressful jobs ever. Not to mention with the Toronto Maple Leafs, too, don't get me wrong. But anywhere up there, it's just very stressful. Look at Bergy. He used to have big arms. All the stress that came upon him, now his arms are getting tiny. His hair is getting gray. It just wears you out. I want to give a little shout-out to Scotty Mellenby. We love him down there. I know they kind of they said one thing to him, and I guess they took it back of – taking over as GM. I don't know the ins and outs of it, but I want to give him a little shout-out. He's a smart dude. He's a hell of a hockey player when he played and a great leader. So he's gonna bounce back summer. But, man, I don't know what to say. They're not fun to watch, I'll tell you that. As to being a Montreal Canadiens fan right now, too. Like, you know, their team
just went
so
to the Stanley
bad.
Cup final last year, too.
I know. But, look, I don't count last year. I'm sorry. I'll say it. I just don't. Last year was still kind of goofy. They made the Stanley Cup final. Like, I don't know. It is what it is. Carey Price was unbelievable. Don't get me wrong. I love that guy. But they aren't fun. They're kind of wimpy. They don't stick up. Somebody had a tweet yesterday where somebody just gets piled. Oh, Jake Allen gets run over. And, like, just no one does anything. And you're, like, bottom of the league. Like, the least you could do is stick up for your damn goalie. That drives me crazy. So not only are they losing games, they're kind of wimpy too, and that's not a good combination.
No, definitely, definitely not. Cam Jansen is our guest from the Cam and Strick podcast. Cam, we've been talking a lot about the Brady Tkachuk, Brendan Lemieux thing, and we're awaiting what type of suspension Lemieux will be receiving from the NHL. But you've been involved in so many fights and tussles and scrums over the years. Has anyone ever tried to or actually bit you?
Nah, dude. No one's gonna bite me. No one really did dirty things to me. One time in 04, during the lockout year, you know, Carlo, when we were playing in the American League with monsters cruising around everywhere you look, Jan Platil from the Binghamton Senators, his name is Jan Platil.
I know him very well, yes.
He tried to kick me. We're getting into a brawl. It was, remember I told you, Christian night, where, you know, with a bunch of little kids there, and we get into a big brawl and scare everybody out of the building. Well, my jersey comes off, my helmet came off, and I'm in a brawl trying to fight him, and he tried to kick me.
What?
And there's video of it on YouTube. He tried to kick me in my face while the refs were holding me back to protect himself, and that was kind of awkward. I think he got like 6-7 games or whatever, but with the biting thing, let me just say something with this. There might be a little bit more to the story than that. I would say to you, headbutting, slashing the face, all that biting.
Spitting.
It's just so bad to do. What's that?
Spitting in someone's face.
Licking. That's just so weird. It's so bizarre. You don't do that. The only time I'm going to bite somebody, and I'm not going to lie to you, if I'm in a scrum and I got people on my back and the refs have my arms, and somebody's taking their finger and gouging my eye out, I'm going to bite you. No, I'm serious. If you have your finger in my eye and no one could see it, or you're trying to fish hook me and you stick your fingers in my mouth, which is disgusting to do anyway, I'm going to bite you. Now, I'm telling you, I think there might have been something going on underneath that scrum for him to do it. Now, if there wasn't, then Brendan Lemieux, he's going to be suspended no matter what. But that is gutless. You're an idiot. Stop doing that. I just think there might be a little bit more to the story. But again, biting's bad. But if you fish hook me, you try to gouge my eyes out, you're getting bit.
Well, look, if a guy's sticking his fingers in your mouth or, you know, doing stuff like that, I think there can be an explanation to it. But I don't know based on the video we've seen, if there was anything close that warranted what Lemieux did. But you talk about, you know, stuff behind the scenes. How surprised were you about how honest Brady Tkachuk was about his explanation afterwards, basically calling Lemieux a brickhead, saying that nobody in the league likes him, his teammates don't even like him, he doesn't even deserve to be in the league. What did you make? I mean, you know the Tkachuk brothers really well, and Matthew was asked about it the other day, and he didn't say much, but basically agreed with everything Brady was saying. So what do you make of some of the comments that were made about Lemieux?
Hey, you know what? The worst singing you called and chirp. I mean, Carlo, we've all gotten called crazy stuff, right? Damn, you suck. And I'm like, okay, yeah, you're right. Ah, you did it. I'm like, okay.
Pigeon.
Is you suck the worst thing you've heard, Cam, when you're talking the ice?
To be completely honest with you, I never got chirped that bad by guys. I mean, here and there. But if you chirp me, and I know you're kind of your own guy, I would chirp you. The worst chirp to get is my point. Here's what I'm trying to say is, if you call the bad teammate, that is the worst. Like, oh, yeah, oh, you make $9 million? Yeah, your teammates hate you. There's
Very
no
true.
Rebuttal of that.
Very
if
true.
If you get called a bad teammate, you're like, oh, God, I don't care how much money you have. I don't care what.
No one likes you. Yeah.
No one likes you. You're like, oh, God. Like, that's. So that's a weird one. I don't know Brendan Lemieux. I do know his daddy, Claude. We had him on the podcast. He's different, too. I mean, you want him on your team. He's an absolute winner. But Brendan's not a winner yet. So if you're a bad teammate, that's going to stick with you, and you got to change it somehow. But being called, that's the worst thing possible. I don't care if you make fun of my dogs, my family. I don't care. You call me a bad teammate, oh, boy.
What about if they made fun of your hairline?
Oh, well, how can you not? Oh, it's getting bad, Carlo. Oh, the cul-de-sac.
You got to tell your wife to stop posting videos when you're sitting on the couch.
I know. She's got to stop doing that. I think she wants to show off my bald spot. Good Lord.
Oh, hilarious. Well, speaking of some other crazy incidents around the league, what did you make of the NHL fining Artemi Panarin for throwing a glove at Brad Marchand? I thought it was hilarious what he did.
Oh, it is. I love Panarin's awesome, man. We actually had David Quinn out, who coached him in New York, and we talked about Panarin, how cool he is. Look, here's the deal with that. People were texting me too, like, "Well, how are they going to fine the same to Tom Wilson after that incident last year with the Rangers?" And they're finding our team, Panarin, for throwing a glove. I'm like, well, you don't throw stuff at people. It's not like a hockey play. You don't throw. You don't want people throwing stuff. It looks kind of corny. Doesn't do anything. So you get fined. Now, Tom Wilson, he got jumped in a scrum, and your initial reaction is to throw the guy off you. We talked about that a million times. Now, did he go too far with it? Yeah. You don't flex to the camera and do that kind of stuff because it always comes back and bites you in the butt. But, one was somewhat of a hockey player, and the other one was Panarin throwing something at somebody. You don't do that. Now, did I chuckle at it? Absolutely. But who cares? He's making 11.5. Fine him. Doesn't matter. You know where that fine goes, by the way? You know, it goes to a good cause, man. It goes to all these guys that are struggling after hockey with addiction problems and all that stuff. So when you get fined in hockey, man, it doesn't just go to the ether. It goes to a great spot. So just all you guys remember that.
Cam, the story around Evander Kane seems to be taking another turn these days. The 21-game suspension he was given for fabricating a vaccine card is over. He's now been sent to the AHL, and there are reports that there are teams interested in trading for him. How do you think any team around the NHL would receive Evander Kane in their locker room at this point in time?
I mean, I wouldn't touch him. I just wouldn't. I mean, there's just too much. There's too much going on. It's not even about the gambling stuff. It's not even about the vaccination. It's just a million other things. Talk about being a bad teammate. Like, yeah, look, guys, we all know each other. Like, you do. The hockey world's small. We've talked about this before, Carlo, where, like, you remember you ask about somebody and you just know about them. Everybody knows somebody in hockey where you can get a good grip on who a person really is just by talking to other people, because we've all coexisted some way or another in some element, right? And I've never heard one good thing about the guy. Not one. Like, just not one thing. And then you look at all the weird stuff. Now, some of it might be true. Some of it might not be true. you know, whatever his ex-wife or his girl wife said about him. Like, do you believe all of it? I don't know. But some of it, you're like, good Lord. Like, it's just too much. Too much. I wouldn't touch him. I wouldn't. Even, I don't care how much salary they're going to keep. You're going to put him in that locker room? Now the media is going to be all over you. Now the whole half your city is going to be like, what? The fans are going to be pissed. It's just not worth it. It's just not worth it.
Look, I'm a big believer in giving people second chances in life, but he's been given more than second chances. This is like his fourth, fifth, sixth chance, and I don't know how much I believe that, you know, teams are interested in acquiring him. Because, you know, yes, okay, you like the production on the ice, but are you willing to sacrifice, you know, the locker room, you know, by bringing him in? Because if you really want answers about whether or not you should bring in a guy like Evander Kane into your locker room, all you got to do is just talk to the people in San Jose. Exactly. I mean, they had a chance to bring him back, and clearly they want nothing to do with him because there is just too much that surrounds this guy 24/7. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you just got to look past what he can do on the ice and more about the things that he's creating within the locker room. And right now, there's not much to like about what he's creating in any environment that he's in. And a lot of that is his own doing. I know he suffered through things. And like I said, I'm a big believer in giving people second chances. But the problem with this guy is that there's people that are willing to help him. He just doesn't want the help. That's basically what I know about it. And
I can't see any team picking him up. Now, you never know. You got a good leadership group and a team. Maybe they could take him over and
San Jose was known for having the best locker room over the years with some of the leadership they have in there, and he couldn't make it work there. So,
I don't know. They didn't even stick up for him. They didn't even talk. They didn't. No, not one player.
Nobody did.
Stuck up for him.
Nobody did.
Dude, that's a sign, man.
Yeah.
That's a sign. Look, I messed up before. I've had my own problems. Like you, I've known guys that have problems, man. But they're good guys. Like they're good guys. Maybe they're misunderstood here and there. I play with guys that I heard, like, man, guys didn't like him in this locker room. I'm like, oh, okay. And I meet the dude, and I'm like, oh, he's great. He's got to understand his personality. I just don't think that's the case with him. I think he's just in his own little world. It's all about him. He's got so much distractions going. Like, think about all that stuff piling up on you. He just needs help. Like,
I agree.
He just needs help, man. Like, gosh, I put a bad tweet out, and I got people chirping me. I crawl into a hole. Could you imagine what he's going through with his ex-wife, with the money situation, with all his ex-girlfriends who he's getting pregnant and all that? I mean, it's crazy. He needs to get help. He needs to have people around him. He needs to have a wake-up call and just completely sort his life out. And again, I'm not perfect, man. I hate being
Nobody
like a hypocrite.
Is.
I hate when the hierarchy, oh, you'd be like me. No. That was a good teammate. And I crawled out of some major holes in my life, and I know how it's done. He just needs to sit back and look himself in the mirror and be like, dude, I got things I got to change.
Yeah, I agree.
Cam, thank you as always for taking the time this morning, my man. We appreciate it. What's coming up on the Cam and Strick podcast today?
Oh, well, we got Davey Quinn out right now. And by the way, anytime we get somebody on the podcast, they usually get hired again, you know, especially the coaches. So Quinner, he looks like Daniel Day-Lewis. And then actually, I'm on my way to meeting Andy right now. We got Kenny Holland coming on today, too.
Ooh, our
friend of ours as well.
Yes.
Yeah, Carlos' favorite. What do you term Ken Holland?
Make sure you ask him what the biggest mistake that, no, the biggest
regret.
The toughest decision he had to make in his life. And that was when he bought me out. That's right.
Oh, I'm going to certainly bring that up, dude.
You should lead with that, Cam. Lead with that.
I'm going to lead with it, of course.
All right, man. Boys. Thanks. Appreciate the time.
Have a good one, buddy.
Cam Jansen from the Cam and Strick podcast. Make sure to subscribe to that and also subscribe to the First Up podcast while you're there. 2-for-1 special on podcast subscription.
Black Friday, or no, is it Black Friday?
Cyber
Monday. Cyber Monday extended special. two-for-one podcast subscribes.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, the Evander Kane situation, man. If only he was taking my CFL picks, he would have been fine.
No, that guy doesn't need any advice with gambling. He's got to stop actually
agreed. What he needs to do. Is it really gambling if you're always winning? That's how I view my CFL selection. So we'll look ahead to the Argos and the Ticats. I think Enoch Mwamba will be joining us tomorrow morning, so that's exciting.
Enoch.
Star linebacker. He'll be joining us at 7:20 to... You know, it's a big game. Big game, the Battle of QEW against the Ticats, and that is Sunday at 12:30. I was texting with your wife, Gina. She'll be joining me on Sunday, so I look forward to that afternoon together.
Nice. I'm working on us going to the Monday night football game in Buffalo, potentially.
I actually was looking at that yesterday. If you look at the prices of tickets, they're not, like, that crazy.
What are they? I didn't even look.
Like, I think you could sit 50-yard line for like $200. It's not like
insane. Dude, I'm not sitting anywhere close to the field in the frigid temperatures that they're expecting.
Oh, we're talking about a box?
That's what I'm hoping for, yes.
Oh. Damn.
I'm not sitting outside for a three-hour football game freezing my ass off.
But you were a Bills fan.
I am a Bills fan.
Clearly not that big. Die hard. You wouldn't go see the Bills and the Patriots because it's too cold outside?
I would go see it in September, October, maybe in early November, but not. I mean, I don't know. We'll see what the weather is. If it's freezing cold, no, I'm not going.
Oh, it is December, so I don't think it's going to be 25 degrees, but I mean, that's surprising. You know, someone who's, you know, dressed up as Bill Mafia for Halloween, you would think they would be willing to weather the elements. And sit in the cold, buddy. Grab a fan, tube. You're good to go.
I'm a fan, but I'm not that crazy. I tell you what, though, I might volunteer myself to get thrown through a table with Bills Mafia.
It's like I'll put you on the IR right now for at least 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, blow my shoulder out again.
There you go. That's what it'll sound like right there. Yes. We have James Herbert from CBS Sports, covers the NBA for them. He'll join us to look at the Raptors, who have a very interesting matchup against the Memphis Grizzlies, a team without Ja Morant tonight. The Raps are 5.5-point favorites, which I find a little bit confusing considering all the injury issues the Raptors are dealing of their own. I mean, OG Anunoby, Kem Birch, Gary Trent Jr., oh, it's a lot of attrition on both sides tonight. So for the Raps to be laying 5.5 seems a little exorbitant if you ask me. Mm-hmm. But we'll see what James Herbert thinks. And plus, getting to Jonas Valanciunas' performance last night. Wow. What is going on with JV? Extremely, extremely impressive stuff. Setting all types of NBA records and huge points and threes. Crazy stuff. And Golden State. They continue to roll. They have a very fascinating matchup with the Phoenix Suns. The two best teams in the NBA going head-to-head. So that's all coming up with James Herbert in about 20 minutes here on First Up.